Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome back to Podcast Like It's 1999. It's our 100th episode.
It is, guys.
We're back with Tig Notaro. Yeah, we did 100. But 100 means nothing to us. 100's not a real number. 99's a number. But we did 100.
We did it.
Yeah.
It's still a big deal.
I guess. It's fine.
What are we going to do for 200, Kenny?
What are we going to do for 200?
What are we going to do for 199 and 200?
199 and 200.
Yeah, who knows? But it's out there, guys.
We're gonna get there. That's the whole point. We're gonna do every single movie that came out. We got something really exciting coming for the shittiest movies.
We do.
Tell you about it yet?
Yeah. Well, okay.
But we got something exciting.
We've got some exciting stuff.
Shittiest movies. We got more Freaks and Geeks. We got more TV shows coming, and we got more Tig Notaro.
But I do want to say one thing I neglected to say at the intro of the 99th episode.
Okay.
Because we've done 100 of these.
We have.
And we have to thank someone. Ernie.
It's true.
Ernie Hurtado, our producer, engineer, the owner of the studio, Rebel Talk Net, owner of the podcast Net, took a chance on a couple of schmucks.
What were you when we first started this? What was the over under on how long we'd be doing this for?
Definitely not.
You didn't think we were going 100.
So, we did it, we couldn't have done it without Ernie. It's true.
Thanks, Ernie. And also, Emilio Diaz runs our social.
It's true. He's doing
social,
an amazing job on our social.
Yes, he's our sentient podcast in Twitter form. Emilio, thank you. Ernie,
great.
Thank you. Tig, thank you.
And part two. Here we go. Kenny and I had a discussion on text a little bit about biopics, mm-hmm. which can be tough to do. To encapsulate a life mm-hmm. in 2 hours is not an easy task. So I think that this film does a very good job at that. I did feel as though it shows the breadth of Andy's life mm-hmm. to a certain degree. And as I said, I liked it a lot more this time than the last time I watched it because I did feel like it was sort of... It was a little more groundbreaking, I guess, than I thought the first time I saw it. But I guess more than anything, the film, what was so powerful about it to you when you saw it? Do you remember sort of this? Was it because it was about a comedian that was on the fringe to a certain degree and was pushing the boundaries of the form? Or were you just, did you just like Andy's story in general?
I think it was a mix, and it's also, I think, exciting to see, somebody that's not so mainstream become sure. so revered and like we got to make a movie about this that Jim Carrey is starring in. And, you know, and also this is just a side note. How incredible is that REM song?
It's the I can't believe it wasn't nominated for best.
Oh, the new one, The Great Beyond. It's so good.
Yeah.
But also,
and
Man,
also
on
Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon, on the Moon is an amazing song.
That is a masterpiece.
It is.
It is truly a masterpiece.
And they produced this. They did the score to the movie. Like, yeah. REM doesn't get nearly enough love for this film.
I really feel what you feel, Tig. It's like, to me, so I used to watch, for some reason, Andy Kaufman had, maybe because he died young.
And I'll also, another side note, it would be, if they can do it right, it would be just equally as exciting to see a biopic about somebody like Bill Hicks. Who never fully exploded in a mainstream way.
There's a great documentary about him.
Right. Yeah. But like to do a full-on biopic, it would be – there's something so touching about that. Like it's tragic, but it's exciting and touching that they're gone. But a beautiful film is made and it has reached a mainstream level. Like that's what I – that it could be – I feel like that's brewing in there.
I know I have a really bad comp for this. It's a horrible comp. But I'm going to say it. I've loved LeBron James from the beginning. And LeBron James has had a real rocky run at this, right? Like a real rocky run with going to the Heat. And he said some bad things in media. But I've always felt like kind of deep down, this is a good guy in an incredibly difficult situation. Incredibly unusual situation, unprecedented, and he's handling it about as well as he can handle.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's a basketball player.
I know. Right, so, I know who he is. I just don't. Yeah. I don't know what I.
So basically, LeBron James like was a child prodigy basketball player.
Okay.
Was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16.
Okay.
Was expected to be the next Michael Jordan from when he was about 16 or 17. He more or less is. He's very close to Michael Jordan. But he went to a team that, you know, had a lot of other good players. It made it easier for him to win. He made fun of some people in the media here and there. He's had a rocky ride, but I've always loved him. And when he was in Trainwreck with Amy Schumer, I remember sitting there being like, oh, my God, he made it. He's America's sweetheart. Like, America is on board with this guy now.
Right.
In a way that, like, I never thought would happen. Because also, like, there are racial issues, like, with him. I always felt like there was this racial undertone of – it's like in the media, this undertone of, you know, he's young, he's black, he has tattoos, he's super rich, he hangs out with, he's brought all his friends with him. Like there's a lot of like latent racism directed in his direction. And that always kind of bugged me for obvious reasons, but also just Amy Schumer and Judd Apatow kind of like putting him in this movie in a funny role, like I really loved. So And I know that's a ridiculous comp, as I said, but I know what you're saying in this thing that felt like, you know, as I said, my parents introduced me to Andy Kaufman at a really young age. Because he died young, I felt like NBC in particular lionized him, right? So in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, he was already kind of
– Well, so Taxi's on ABC.
Well, there was a lot of SNL stuff that was always like –
Well, Lauren's in the movie.
Right. Yeah. So it was a lot of like – and, you know, he was a little deified in the 80s and 90s. Andy Kaufman from Hollywood, which is a documentary about
his wrestling
that his girlfriend Lynn Margulies made, was played on Comedy Central. So I love this guy, but I feel like this guy was only my guy.
Right.
Right? This guy only did the thing that only me and like three of my friends loved. And then the Man on the Moon happened. So Miloš Forman is directing it, who only makes brilliant films.
It feels that way. And, I mean, Amadeus and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest
and People vs. Larry Flint were the big ones.
Yeah.
And then like all these massive actors auditioned for this role.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the laundry list of people.
Who else could have played him?
No one else. There were a lot of people that were up.
Nobody.
John Cusack, Kevin Spacey, Hank Azaria, Nicolas Cage.
They all put themselves on film for this?
They all did auditions for this.
Nicolas Cage.
I love that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Why not just go with me? open-micer would be...
Well, it came down to Edward Norton and Jim Carrey. Apparently, Milos Forman said he can't choose, so he let the studio choose. And shockingly, they picked the biggest movie star in the world. Yeah.
Edward Norton had just been in People vs. Larry Flynn with him. Right.
And,
he, you know,
and I'm sure he would have been great.
And was dating Courtney Love,
and
right?
And was dating Courtney Love.
Yes. The Jim Carrey feels like this was a role he was born to play.
Yeah.
He's amazing in this film.
I remember when all those people were
I just got chills. He's so incredible.
Yeah.
I remember when all those people were auditioning, and this was also after Truman Show. It felt like an unfair fight. Like, it felt like, like, okay, sure, but Jim Carrey's going to win. Right?
Yeah. Like, how could it? I mean, he looks a fair amount like him. Like, they were able to sort of, they're born on the same day, weirdly. There's just a bunch of stuff that felt like,
same birthdays, and the guy's got the kid.
That's how we opened his
audition. Yeah, I should share a birthday with
Elton
Clooney.
John's birthday is a day after mine, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I missed out on that movie, on Rocket Man.
Yeah, Taron, what's
just
his
by a day.
Taron Egerton.
Yeah,
same birthday.
But even, I mean, Jim Carrey went on. He auditioned, like he went on tape. I mean, these were people that this was a revered role because this man was a revered comedian. It is a fascinating film in the sense that at the time it didn't do so hot. I'm going to have a little bit of context for people who haven't seen it. Jim Carrey stars as the late Andy Kaufman, who is considered one of the most innovative, eccentric, and enigmatic performers of his time, a master of manipulating audiences. Kaufman could generate belly laughs, stony silence, tears, or brawls. Whether inviting the audience out for milk and cookies or challenging women to intergender wrestling matches, he specialized in creating performances so real that even his close friends weren't sure where the truth lay. Man on the Moon opened on December 20th, 1999, in sixth place with $7.5 million behind the talented Mr. Ripley in Any Given Sunday. And it would go on to make $47 million on an $82 million budget. It has 63% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics and 79% from audiences. This movie was not embraced at the time. Mm-hmm. And it does feel like it has been reevaluated. I think that a lot of people, myself included, have got on board with this film in a way that they didn't at the time. I do think, I'm just going to read a very small portion of Roger Ebert's review. He was one of the major critics to get behind it.
Read a long portion.
It's very short. He gave it 3.5 out of 4 stars.
Pull an Andy Kaufman and just...
Yeah. Just read The Great Gatsby?
Like, in this moment, just be like, I'm going to read a little something about the movie. Continue reading and then end the podcast. We never come back in.
Kaufman's act was essentially a meditation on the idea of entertainment. He would entertain you, but you had to cave in first. You had to laugh at something really dumb or let him get away with something boring or outrageous. If you passed the test, he was like a little kid, delighted to be allowed in the living room at last. He'd entertain, all right, but you'd have to pass the entry exam. What's most wonderful about Man on the Moon, a very good film, is that it remains true to Kaufman's stubborn vision. Sure, it brightens it up a little bit, but essentially it stays true to his persona, a guy who would test you, fool you, lie to you, deceive you, and stage elaborate deceptions, put-ons, and hoaxes. The movie doesn't turn him into a sweet, misunderstood guy. It doesn't pander for laughs. When something is not working in Kaufman's act, it's not working in the movie either, and it's not funny. It's painful. I think that that's all true. I think that this movie does a great job of encapsulating. He seemed like, I don't know, was he a sad person? Do you think that he was, I mean... It's hard to say whether or not – let me rephrase this. As a comedian, it feels like laughs are
– Important.
Important. But also that –
I don't know.
You do know about comedy.
But is it
– I've seen some of your acts. I don't know if they're the driving force.
But is it intoxicating?
Always.
Is there something sort of – are you chasing a thing?
Sure. I mean, it's – Yeah, I mean, I enjoy laughter, but I'm also
sure.
I feel like.
But you also like it when it doesn't work.
Well, I was gonna say there's a kind of a juggling act of if the awkwardness feels right, that can be just as
sure.
It feels just as good. If you can kind of keep those balls in the air and you can feel it from the audience where it's awkward but it's comfortable enough where they're like this feels really really weird and I don't even know what's happening but it doesn't feel bad nobody really knows what's happening or and it does it feels there's a
electricity to it, isn't it?
Electricity, but also very, very present. Everyone feels very present in that moment of what's happening.
Right.
Your antennas are up and your ears are out and you're everybody's looking around like, what is, I don't know what's happening.
It sounds like some what I'm about to say, some new agey bullshit, but the most important thing in life is being present, like being mindful of the moment. Mm-hmm. And I go to comedy shows to be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like it has nothing to do with like letting my troubles wash away or whatever. It really has to do with, I want to feel something right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, that keeps me away from my phone or keeps me away from some other distraction. So I would much rather be in a show where I don't know where it's going to turn. That's something that's, it's a general laugh that I've heard before. It's the thrill is the unpredictability.
And also, but isn't that the beauty also of something live? You know what I mean? As opposed to watching a movie or something like that. Being there and actually seeing and being in that space with other people.
But I've been super bored at live things before.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes there's, yeah, it's great to be at a live show, but there is kind of a predictability to certain mm-hmm. music and comedy and live theater, and you can, your brain kind of sets in with, oh, I'm at this play or this rock band or this, but there's sometimes there's just a different experience where you're what just happened?
I think it's great that you embrace that, though, because I feel like there has to be a fair amount of people that don't, right? That reject that feeling of, I think that's really special. I mean, and I think that's something that obviously Andy was into as well, but I think that just that willing to roll with it, with mm-hmm. this thing, this special thing that's just, I mean, the stool, whatever it is, to embrace it and see this thing and to harness that, I think is really amazing.
Thank you. Let's go to commercial.
If only we had commercials. So what are your feelings about, I don't want to say like about SNL, but about sort of this, what that time in SNL, what Andy was a part of? Did you watch SNL? Were you a fan?
Yeah. We, as a family, enjoyed SNL. Great. And I mean, I remember as a kid, that, you know, that feeling of not knowing what your parents were laughing at,
yeah.
you know, missing a lot of it,
sure.
knowing that something must have been dirty or weird or, you know, but, yeah. But yeah,
or about taxes.
Tax jokes.
They always kill.
Uh-huh. And Andy did most of the tax jokes. That's what he was known for. I definitely grew up on it, but I also don't know that I feel like the Chris Farley days were the end of it for me. And it wasn't because I became too much of a snob. I think I don't know.
Yeah.
I know people have their opinions obviously about SNL and the different casts and what years were great and what's terrible, or I somehow lost interest in it. Or
no, I do think that people tend to, I think it's an age thing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously I can only speak for myself, but it feels like when you're a teenager, SNL feels, you know, exciting and what have you.
So dangerous.
Dangerous. So yeah. that's that kind of, I locked into it then. It's not to say that I don't still watch it. I mm-hmm. do, but it does feel like it's a little less sharp or mm-hmm. a little less sort of dangerous than it is when you're a teenager or when you're watching with your family. Or something.
Yeah, I've seen a few clips and sketches
sure.
here and there online. And I do find myself feeling like, that's
yeah, fair.
Interesting.
Fair.
That's where we are.
I do feel is most times I wonder what SNL would be if they only made the sketches that were thrown out. Like that would be
yes.
Maybe that's what we should be doing.
Yeah, that's a dream.
Yeah. Or sketches near the end of the show where they get a lot weirder.
They only let the one.
Yeah.
They only let the one in. But yeah, it would be nice if they weren't so wedded to political humor.
Well, I mean, now more than ever, it feels like
they're just stuck.
Yeah,
they're stuck kind of having to comment on the politics
mm-hmm.
for the first hour and a half or the first 90 I know what an hour and a half is. The first 45 minutes of every episode.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they can get silly, but it's, you know, it's an NBC show. It's not quite 11:30 like it used to be. You know, it's TiVo'd and it's for everybody. And there are
TiVo'd.
Oh, excuse me, DVR'd.
we're sponsored by TiVo.
This is podcast like it's 1999. So let's keep it real.
When TiVo's came out, I said to my friend, I was like, it's the first time I saw a TiVo. Yeah. I was like, those are going to be at garage sales in 2 years.
like a little
2 years.
You were right.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you. Yeah. I know, that's why I bring it up. Yes. There was no part of me that was like, whoa, look at this TiVo. These are here to stay.
Oh, I was like that.
Oh,
I mean, liked mine.
I can see the future.
A TiVo. I love a TiVo.
Yeah.
It was great at the time, but that's going to be on the curb like real fast.
Yeah, no one's buying it, unfortunately. Well, yes.
I got the new TiVo.
It still has the best interface.
It kind of does. Is that out of business?
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's, but
no, they still, Google.
You can't buy a new TiVo, but they
I'll
do
just
exist.
Look it up on Likas.
It's not possible, but so here's a question for you.
I'm just picturing the people that started TiVo, the amount of leprechaun kicks they were doing, like, we're rich! And then now they're downsizing very quickly. They are downsizing.
Yeah, that's incredible.
We're rich! leprechaun kick! Honey, my leprechaun! In a mansion! And now it's like,
What's TiVo?
What's TiVo?
I wish you could.
The kids don't know TiVo.
I think, so to switch.
Out of private school.
To switch gears just a little bit.
Oh, God.
I wanted to talk a little bit about duality in sort of act versus person, truth versus reality. That's fine.
Nosedive. You said it's still for sale?
It exists, yeah.
It exists. Yeah. That's what you want people to be saying
you
about
buy
your
TiVo, though.
Groundbreaking.
You could buy, I'll tell you what you could buy. You could buy the TiVo Edge for cable.
You said there's no commercial on this show.
We get TiVo money?
TiVo Bolt OTA for antenna. You could buy the TiVo mini box. I don't.
Do they look the same?
No, they're sleeker.
Cool. The thing about TiVo that I actually feel a little sorry for TiVo.
I feel a lot sorry for TiVo.
Because that technology, they clearly couldn't copyright it. Because every DVR is a TiVo.
Yeah, they stole it.
They flat out stole everything from TiVo.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
I mean, all those leprechaun kicks.
I know, it's so sad. It is so sad.
Yeah, Mr. TiVo pulling his kids out of private school is very sad.
Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah.
But it happens.
What are you gonna do?
I feel like whoever started TiVo, I don't think this was a jerk that was like, you know, smoking a cigar and telling everyone to screw off. I started TiVo.
I'm Mr. TiVo.
I think it was.
Let's see if I can find who Mr. TiVo is.
What if it's a Ms. TiVo?
It could be.
I can tell you it's not. Jim Barton.
Sure.
Does he have a cigar hanging out of
his mouth? How much is he worth today?
Oh, my God.
You want to know the saddest thing about Jim Barton?
Is he not alive anymore?
He's not even the first guy who comes up on Google when you Google Jim Barton. Vicky Barton.
Ms. TiVo.
Vicky Barton comes up above. There's a former cop named Jim Barton who killed his wife named Vicky Barton.
So he's third?
Technically third, yeah.
He's not even on the first page.
And you know what? He's downsized his office. His office is in home now. And he's still hanging on to his TiVo company, but he works out of the house now.
He's behind. He's not even on the front page. He's behind an Alabama state senator. an NFL center born in 1934.
Oh my
this
gosh.
Is incredible.
He's made no money. Mike Ramsey was the other one, by the way.
That's really sad.
Mike Ramsey, also not the first guy to come up for his own name.
But you know what? This man still has a TiVo.
Still got TiVo in his name.
Yeah, it doesn't work, though.
He's still got it plugged into his TV.
It doesn't work, though. Do you think he's seen probably?
And he's sold his other one because he had one in each room. He sold his others at the garage sale
for food.
The question is, all right. So I don't mean to make fun of someone's death, but you know, whatever.
Wait, he died?
No. But the guy who made the Segway.
Oh yeah, went off a cliff. No, he didn't create it. He was the CEO.
The CEO segwayed off a cliff, right?
Yeah.
How do you think the TiVo guy would die? What's the most poetic way for the TiVo man to die? TiVo men. I thought they were going to be the Sergey
crushed under a stack of old TiVos that no one's bought anymore. I don't know.
Maybe he was placing his TiVo out in the yard for the yard sale, and then somebody was excited.
He was hit by a Spectrum truck.
Somebody was very excited. They were like, ooh, score. Someone's selling a TiVo. Pulled up with excitement, ran over Mr.
Yeah.
TiVo.
Yeah.
Vicky TiVo ran over him.
Oh, TiVo, guys. So,
that's our TiVo episode.
That's our TiVo episode. I just wanted to, so Danny DeVito was recently on Mark Maron's podcast, and he was talking about Andy, because Danny DeVito produced this movie. He's in the movie as well. He says something that I think is interesting, because he gives a little bit of an insight, where he said that you were able to get to know Andy. When we were doing Taxi, you could go into his dressing room during the day and just hang out with the guy and have a normal conversation. You weren't always just a part of his art projects. And I think that it's interesting that he kept that from everybody. Like, he never seemed like a normal person, at least out in the public. I mean, any interviews with him, anything that he was doing, always felt like it was a bit. Mm. It's a shame, because I feel like, even in the movie, I don't feel like I really get to know him.
It's not a shame. You know, to me, it's a gift. Like, I think performance artists who never drop character are amazing, and it's a gift. Like, okay. You know the way I feel about Lady Gaga, right? Like, I think it's pretty incredible that most people who act, who produce music under a pseudonym like Lady Gaga, particularly a lot of rappers, will use their given names when they act.
Yeah, she didn't.
And Lady Gaga's out there in an Oscar-nominated role as Lady Gaga, never dropping the Lady Gaga character. I think that's amazing.
Wait, she's in character?
I think Lady Gaga's always in character.
Really? Maybe I'm not familiar enough.
I think Lady Gaga I think Lady Gaga has been in character for like 15 years. I think Lana Del Rey is always in character too.
What do you think Lady Gaga,
what I think Stephanie's like?
Is that her name?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what Stephanie's like. I think there are some videos because she was a dancer and choreographer before she was Lady Gaga proper.
Okay.
But she was a dancer and choreographer.
All right.
I will say, though, that during the press cycle for A Star Is Born, she seemed the most Stephanie that we've seen.
I don't know.
My Stephanie, who is my wife, she showed me something with Lady Gaga on the press tour for
Star Is Born.
Star Is Born. And there's some video put together, a compilation of her interviews on that tour, and they're word by word the exact same. Have you seen this?
Well, because she clearly had, I think she was kind of prepped for this press cycle.
That's so unfair.
Well,
she prepped herself.
But either way.
It still feels like she was...
Either way, it's just interesting to think of, like, each interview was the exact same.
I love that.
Do you?
I think that's thrilling. I think that's that there's.
But you said earlier you like being in the moment. You like the feeling of being in the moment.
Have you ever seen anybody do that? What you're talking about?
Being in the moment?
No. Give the exact same word for word interview over and over again. That's crazy.
It's weird.
No, I know.
It's exciting. That's what I mean. It's exciting.
What's a different exciting of like, oh my God. She's acting like she never said this. But I guess you have to do that. I mean, I certainly have to do that with certain sound bites and things that you get.
I don't envy you. Because I don't envy, like, one of the things.
You think my life's pathetic?
I think you have a rough life. I think you have an awful life. I think you have to do one of the things that I think is, like, one of the hardest things in the world over and over again, which is go on talk shows with prepared bits. I couldn't imagine.
But here's the thing. I go on with prepared bits, but I also go off.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The rails, as needed or wanted.
Which, so you're not hemmed in by it. You don't feel like you're boxed in.
No, and I remember when I first went on Ellen's talk show, you know, they were really letting me know that she likes to know what's being talked about. And I know that with talk shows, but there just seemed to be kind of this prep of with doing hers. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I made a note of, all right, well, we'll stick to the script and we'll talk about it. And then I sat down with her and I couldn't stay on script, and I went off, and I remember thinking, well, I guess I'll never do this show again. But we had fun, and they came out, they're like, wow, she really enjoyed that. And I'm not saying nobody else goes off script on her show or other shows,
right.
But I do remember thinking I couldn't control myself because I wanted to have a real moment, and yeah. I wanted to like really, and I understand why hosts want to know what's being said and what's coming, and because I'm sure when things go off the rails in certain ways, it just kind of sometimes isn't great.
Yeah, it would have been great to know about the TiVo thing before, but no big deal.
What if you saw a compilation of my interviews and I always bring up the TiVo thing?
I just love if we got a call for you before and you're like, look, I've been really working on this TiVo thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to do 20 minutes on TiVo.
But every interview I do.
I would have loved. I would have been like,
Lady Gaga.
I would have been like, Phil, check this YouTube compilation.
And the fact that I brought up Lady Gaga's compilation. I'm like, isn't that nuts? And then you see all of mine. I'm like, TiVo, what is that guy doing? Oh, my God. I just thought about him. I bet he's got to pull his kids out of private school.
It'd be like the end of Sixth Sense. I would feel so plain.
It'd be great, though.
It'd be very Andy Kaufman.
Very Andy Kaufman.
Oh, shit. Did you do it?
Google me.
Oh, God. That'd be incredible. That would be incredible.
If you don't come, Google me. This would be some Chris Angel shit right now.
This would be amazing. Yeah,
this interview is
I'm just going to make. So, Here's a
back on track.
I try.
Yeah.
You come up first for your own name.
Come up first. So in the film and in Andy's real life, he was presented with a sitcom. It seems relatively early in his career, a role in Taxi, mm-hmm. which he roundly rejects and wants nothing to do with. Mm-hmm. I guess sort of, you know, how do you feel about the different sort of styles of comedy or working within different parameters, you know, you obviously had a television show of your own.
Have you been
on a sitcom? Have you been on a multicam?
Yes. Well, that was half my question. The other half was, I know you haven't started in a multicam. So have you been offered multicams, and how do you feel about that?
No, I've never been offered. Have I? No, I don't think I've ever even said a word on a multicam, but I've, done plenty of
single cam.
And how do I?
Well, is that a format that would be interesting to you? Or because like Andy was around, I mean, he literally said canned laughter is dead people. Those are dead people laughing. I mean, he really did not like the theatricality of it, which is a little bit weird to me.
Then he had a lot of fun with it.
I bet he did.
I think he did. Like, I love that about him, you know?
I think that my feeling is I've never been – I got into stand-up solely for stand-up. And I remember when I first moved to Los Angeles, people would always say, what's your goal? What do you want to do ultimately? And I was so baffled by that question. I was like, I want to stand up. And they're like, but then what? Like, do you?
Yeah.
Well, then I want to do bigger venues and I want to tour. And I truly was like, what are you asking me?
Yeah.
And I realized in Los Angeles, people mean, what do you want? Do you want a sitcom? Do you want to be a movie star? Do you want to, I never even noticed the pattern that stand-ups got sitcoms. Mm-hmm. I just never thought about it. And I got my own show, the single camera show, One Mississippi on Amazon. Feel free to watch it. I think it was great. I enjoyed doing it. It wasn't something I pursued. It was something I was offered. And it ended after two seasons. I feel like it wrapped up nicely. I would have done more, but I was also perfectly fine with it ending when it did. And then there is this thing that happens now where people are like, when are you going to have your own show? You were robbed. I don't feel that way. I never set out to have my own scripted show. And so when it ended, it was like, all right, it ended. And now I'm moving on. And what I enjoy, I've been offered, not necessarily multicam, but I've been offered scripted series to develop or shoot. I don't have a genuine interest in doing that. Right. It's not what speaks to me. I have my recurring role on Star Trek. It's so fun. I fly to Toronto for a day.
My hometown.
I love Toronto.
Toronto's great, yeah.
And I pop in. And I'm Tig in space, and then I head home. But it's not, I can't pretend like it's my passion.
Right.
If there was something that came up that really, where I was like, this is undeniably what I want to do, I would do anything, even if it meant a multicam or a single cam.
Sure.
But I don't just want to be on TV or film for the sake of it. I want to really, really enjoy what I'm doing. And there's nothing that's drawing me in that direction other than popping in, popping out of any TV or movie and then working on my stand-up. Or
I saw you this weekend in Lucy in the Sky.
Oh. Okay. I thought you were going to tell me.
Speaking of like popping in and out of things, and just great. You were great in it. But it was just interesting to sort of, what was that experience like, I guess, on a brief tangent, but like
doing that movie?
Yeah, doing that film.
It was very much popping in, popping out.
Right.
I even, from what I've been told, I think my part and Nick Offerman's part are very, very minimal. Like, maybe.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm yeah.
You, yeah.
There's it, primarily the bowling scene is you're in that.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember making
no,
that.
No, I do. I haven't seen the movie.
Okay, yes.
It's a fair question to a twin mom.
Like, no, I didn't. I was just... it's...
What it was like is kind of what any... I feel like I've had really great experiences for the most part, on productions, and that was no different. Like Natalie Portman, everybody was so nice, so friendly. And it's not my movie, and I'm doing a day or two, and then I leave. But again, that particular movie, I haven't seen it. I don't know if I. And it's just my profile walking by in the background. But
it's
I
not,
know it's very minimal.
Yeah.
I was told that Nick and I have very little.
Yes.
So I would imagine that means that our roles were very much whittled. I know my role must have been whittled down. I don't know what's going on with Nick's. But it was a perfectly fine and fun production, but I was barely there.
But it's an example of a thing that of these sort of a plethora of different types of projects that you want to be a part of, which I think is obviously exciting to you. But would you say that your passion is primarily just stand up? Is that sort of where your heart is?
Yeah, for sure. I love doing stand up, and I'm working on I've been doing a talk show also at Largo here in Los Angeles. I do a monthly stand-up show mm-hmm. at Largo. Mm-hmm. I also go on the road and tour, but I've started doing a monthly talk show at Largo because I'm developing a talk show, which that interests me because it is in the moment, and but not a talk show where it would be outlined. Or
is it okay. like Under a Rock?
No. Under a Rock is my talk show that where I interview famous people yes. and try and figure out who they are. And it's very real. My producers give me face sheets mm-hmm. and they don't have names to the faces. And I go through the faces and I say yes and no, who I recognize and who I don't. And then people that I don't recognize, which is typically a lot of people. And I'm not trying to be annoying of being like, I don't watch movies or TV shows. But I really don't follow a lot of pop
very
culture.
Cool.
I'm not trying to.
It's
I don't even think it's great. It's just a fact.
If I could
fact.
Tell that you were trying, if you're one of those people who's like, I don't have TV in my home, and you know, I just sit by the candlelight and read every night. Be the worst, but that's not what you're doing.
That's not at all what I'm doing. Yeah. But when I say I don't recognize someone, the producers go to the reps and say, you know, would your client like to be on this show? And people that have come on have been so friendly and fun, and we get to have a real connection. Yeah. And I because I really don't know, is this an athlete? Is this a singer? Is this an actress? I have no idea who I'm talking to, and it really keeps where you can tell me and the guests were like in the moment of it's what awesome. Are we doing. And one of the funniest things, we just wrapped season 2 of Under a Rock, and the producers had one of the biggest sitcom stars on season 2, and every face sheet they told me this after this person was on the season 2. They said they kept putting their face on a face sheet, and I would just skim past, and they had put their face on 5 times, and I never even clocked that I saw it on a previous face sheet. And they were like, wait, she doesn't know. There's no way.
They couldn't believe you didn't know.
They could not believe, and they kept putting it on a sheet, and I would zoom right past, never saw this person in my life.
Oh my God,
and,
this is so
gonna be
exciting.
Great.
It's yeah,
great.
And but as far as, that's just a silly, we do 6 episodes a season, and it's just a silly thing. But I do know plenty of celebrities. I do know who some famous people are.
Can we challenge you?
Yes, but I want to say my talk show at Largo is I'll have a celebrity friend on
oh, okay.
and I'll sit and chat with them for an hour in the way that you and I, yes. we are doing.
Yes.
And it's just fun and a real conversation. Whereas Under a Rock, I'm like, so you're tall. You play sports?
Yeah. I just, before you quiz, just one okay? quick thing. I just want to say that what I think is one of the things I think is so special about what you do is it's so big hearted. Like the idea of your show bringing people on that it could be mean spirited if it's done in the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
but it's clear that you're not trying to be
no
mean
way.
About it. Like
no
you're
way.
Trying to be unbelievable. You're trying to have a good time,
yeah.
trying to have fun. And I think that's so intrinsic to your work. And I think that it was a little bit in Andy's work, but a lot of it was also about pissing people off. It felt mm-hmm. like, but that big-heartedness, I think, is so special about your work. So
thank you.
All right, let's
That's
play the
kind
game.
Kind of you. All right, let's play the game.
He's going to point to things on our poster.
I'm not going to point to anything. There are. Well, I am. I'm going to point to the poster on our podcast, like it's 1999 cover artwork.
I would not believe how many faces I do not recognize
right,
on that.
So there,
and then there's faces I do recognize, but I don't know their names.
So there are there are. I counted. There are approximately 20 humans on this. Mm-hmm. All right, there are a few.
I actually do know, actually.
There are a few other. Yeah,
are.
There are a few other non-humans on there. If you get those, that'll be bonus. But there are 20 humans, and
you know what?
I'm going to set the over/under at 7. Do you think you can get 7 of these humans?
Yeah, I actually.
All right,
okay. I know who a lot of those people are.
I'm going to give you Jim.
So this
Carrey.
Is going to be a terrible example.
Yeah, Jim Carrey's on there for Man on the Moon.
I'll give you one.
I know Nicolas Cage,
yes.
Reese Witherspoon,
yes.
Gwyneth Paltrow,
yes.
Hilary Swank,
yes.
Will Smith.
He's on there.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He's up there.
Wild Wild West.
Is that Brad Pitt?
Yeah, Brad Pitt's on there.
Shirtless.
How many do I have?
You got 7.
Is that Heath Ledger?
It is.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know who that is in the bottom corner? That child?
The little guy?
Yeah, I'm forgetting what his name is. But I do know.
Haley Joel Osment?
Yep.
It is.
How about the guy right in the middle with the glasses? Right above the sea?
Yes, I do know who that is. That is...
this is amazing.
I know who that is. I know it's ridiculous. I know he's a gigantic star.
Big star, that guy. Yeah.
He famously wrote something with another big movie star.
I know. His partner is Ben Affleck.
That's right.
As Matt Damon would love to be known as.
Matt Damon.
How about that guy with the gun in the bottom right? The glasses and the gun.
Do you know that movie?
I don't know that movie. Okay. He looks familiar.
Have you worked with him? You've never worked with him.
Then we're in Gwyneth Paltrow territory.
That is Lawrence Fishburne.
From The Matrix.
Okay. Yeah, I have not seen that.
How about the guy in the upper right corner? I'd be shocked if you don't know who that guy is.
He looks familiar. I don't know his name.
The bald gentleman up there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
John Malkovich.
John Malkovich.
And then the woman in the bottom left corner looks familiar. Have you seen
Hustlers?
No.
She's in Hustlers. Julia Stiles.
Okay.
Have you worked with anybody on this? Have you worked with Gary Cole? Seems possible.
Possible? Office Space? You ever see Office Space?
I did not.
No.
All right.
Well, this is great.
I have not worked with, but I know Gwyneth personally.
Oh.
I know Reese personally. And I...
Do you know the man next to Gwyneth that she got her arm around? British?
Oh, Jude Law.
There you go.
You did great.
Jude Law. There you go. You did great.
Yeah, you did about as well as my mom would have.
Yeah. Do you know that bit, the movie with the toque?
The toque?
The hat in the middle there.
Toque? Blair Witch Project.
You call that a toque? Is that Canadian?
I have no idea. Oh, wait. Is that the Toy Story on the far left? Yeah. Okay.
Jesse. Toy Story. Yeah. We got kids.
Yeah. But we haven't even watched Toy Story.
Really?
Mm-mm.
What do you watch? What are they like?
They love Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
They love...
Paw Patrol.
Whenever you're in trouble.
Yeah. Marshall. Chase. Everest.
My wife knows all of the words to that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Well, they like that. They like Peppa Pig.
Who doesn't?
And I love Peppa Pig.
Yeah, Peppa Pig's a big...
That's what I always say is... If Peppa Pig walked in the room, I'd be like, there's Peppa.
That's what you always say?
I always tell, when they ask me about celebrities, I say, send Peppa Pig in the room.
Or Georgie.
Oh,
the other thing that gets me mad is, aside from my boss having pitches, some of these kids' shows are so good. Mm-hmm. You're on your way. You're close. Have you ever watched Phineas and Ferb? It's so good, I can't handle it.
Phineas and Ferb.
I think give it a year and a half, and like you'll just fall over. It's so good. It'll knock you down.
Okay.
And every scene of that, I'm like, I can never do anything close to this.
Yeah.
Never anything in the same universe as this.
Wow. I can't wait to.
Yeah. Phineas and
Ferb. What is the premise of this show?
Phineas and Ferb. That's not a premise. It's all in the songs. It's all in the theme songs. I'll just sing the theme songs to you. There's 104 days of summer vacation until school comes along just to end it. And the ongoing problem of our generation is finding a cool way to spend it.
Wait, you said you were going to sing it.
There are 104 days of summer vacation till school comes along just to end it. And the ongoing problem of our generation is finding a good way to spend it. And then they go, like, maybe. And then they go to all the things they do over the summer.
Most people are shy about singing, and you're just like, whatever.
Kenny's not.
I'm big on participating.
That's nice.
Yeah, I think, you know.
As my wife says, choose to care.
Choose to care.
That's what that reminds me of.
I think, this is part of my mental health treatment, but a big thing that I learned was just participate. If there's something that's happening, I mean, what's going to happen? Someone says I have a bad voice.
Mm-hmm.
I'll survive.
Yeah.
It's true.
No.
Yeah. You've survived this long with a terrible voice. I don't see it ending anytime soon.
That's incredible.
I don't know if we'll top that.
Yeah, no, I don't think we're going to top that.
Next week. Ooh.
Spooky.
It's our Halloween spooktacular.
Is it?
It's our Halloween Fright Fest. Is that all a little too obvious? It's our Halloween boondoggle.
Ooh, interesting.
It's a real boondoggle. It's
yeah, it's a movie that did not do well.
I don't know if that's true.
I mean, box office wise. And on Rotten Tomatoes. So the two metrics we use.
That's true. The two metrics. But what did it get with audiences? Not great either.
Not great either.
The movie's End of Days.
Yeah.
It's not even that spooky. It's got some spooky stuff. I mean, it's a devil movie.
It's very much because I went through the list thinking, like, you know, Halloween, and there's like a fair amount of Halloween-ish movies in 99, but they're all kind of in the same range of like, these aren't all that scary. There's not really like a really scary movie. I mean,
Blair Witch, we kind of did it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, Sixth Sense
and Sixth Sense it, yeah. And there's some spooky stuff, but you know, there's always bats. But
we'll get to bats.
but they're yeah. I don't want to get too into it in the tease for the next episode. There are a lot of obviously end of the world stuff, and there's
sure.
a lot of like Catholic horror this year.
Yeah, a lot of priests.
Weird, a lot of like Catholic churches. Horror, and this is one of them. This is a $100 million Catholic horror starring Arnie.
It's so bizarre. Starring
the governor. Do you remember when he was the governor?
I do.
So long ago. How I long for those days.
Yeah.
Remember they wanted him to be president?
Yeah.
And we were like, that's ridiculous. All right, so Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But then he became the apprentice.
Please.
Or the
that's the well-worn path now. he plays Jericho Kane.
Yeah, catch his last name.
New York City police detective investigating.
Was a cop. Now is a security guy. He works in security.
Oh, he does. He works in security.
Which, you know, anyway.
Jericho Kane.
Jericho
Kane. End of Days.
I got to say, it's a lot more interesting than I expected it to be.
I thought this movie would suck, and it does not.
Which is weird.
The whole internet is wrong. Some of these movies like have like little pockets of like in defense of this one does not, and we are going to start the day's hive.
So next week, Halloween, we're gonna do a deep dive into Arnie. I think Kenny's a bigger fan of Arnie than I am.
We'll talk about it.
It's going to be great.
I guess I am probably bigger than you. If you don't think you're a big fan, then I'm probably a bigger fan than you.
Yeah.
But
I think you just go deeper than I do. Like, I wasn't an 80s action guy. So I think you might.
I think I have on my list of top 10 Arnie films, I have one from the 80s.
I couldn't come up with 10.
Well, that's not crazy.
Okay.
No, that's not crazy.
Okay. Well, right. Next week, Halloween, Spookfest, Arnie fights the devil.
Top 5 Arnold movies. Arnold. Yeah. Fights the
devil. We'll talk
the
devil. We'll talk
his ass kicked stuff. By an old woman.
A couple times. Thank you so much for being here, Tig. We really do appreciate it.
So cool.
Thanks for having me.
We're incredibly grateful that you came on, seriously. And you know,
my pleasure.
Thank you for taking the time and talking Andy Kaufman with us and your comedy and what it all means to you. And
well, if anybody's listening in D.C., I'll be – I produce a podcast – or no, I don't.
Easy there, Andy.
I produce a comedy festival called the Benson Ball every year in D.C.
When is it?
And Maria Bamford will be there. Cool. October 24th through the 27th, I feel like.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm on the 26th doing my talk show.
How do people get tickets to that if they wanted to? They go online?
Of course.
Okay. I don't know if there's a website or something like that.
Just I don't either.
Google Tig Notaro. She comes up first, I promise.
Go stand in line. Yeah. Turn on your computer.
Get a tent.
Get a TiVo.
You're on the pulse.
I'm doing my talk show while I'm there.
Okay.
I'll be doing a little bit of stand-up on another show, but my talk show is called But Enough About You. And,
that's what this is about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And also every month at the Largo.
Every month I'm at Largo doing stand-up, and then every month I'm at Largo doing But Enough About You.
So, there are two different shows.
Yeah.
All right.
And people can get tickets.
Tig Has Friends is my stand-up show. And it's usually just one other friend. I have an opener who does about 20 minutes, and then I do about an hour.
All right, so come 20 minutes late.
Yeah.
Cool.
They're usually terrible. My opener is...
How could they not be?
It's favors. I throw people bones. They open for me.
Literally, I don't... close your ears. Finest stand-up in the world. We're very lucky to have her. Thank you so much for doing this.
I'm not going to close my ears.
I hate, you know, blowing you up, but I really believe that. So thank
you're kind.
You so
much. You're very kind.
Thank you so much for coming on here.
Thanks for having me, and I'll see you at the top.
All right.
Thanks.
Podcast like it. Just podcast like it. Podcast like it's 1999. Podcast like it.
You want a podcast like it.
1999.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.